And at noon, it is time for Radio Rotary right here on WHVW. And we do not have Scott with us today. He has gone off into that great ether of previous engagements, I guess.
Well, he's a very busy, very active man, very involved in life, and he has a lot going on, that's for sure, JP.
And today we have Sarah with us.
That would be me.
That would be you.
I'm Sarah O'Connell, the substitute host for...
Is that like in school where you have the substitute teacher and then...
Yes,
and you always figure you could get off, you know, get
oh,
over
get away,
on her. Yeah,
get
you know,
away
get away with stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah, that was it.
We're going to have none of that today.
Oh, dear.
Well, yes, today is, in fact, Radio Rotary, say that three times fast, here at WHVW Hyde Park. And our guests are Ed Hengel and his daughter, Katie Ann Hengel. Ed is the co-chair of RILA, which I stand corrected. I almost had it right, didn't I, Katie Ann?
That's right.
You're very close. RILA, R-Y-L-A, which is a Rotary International program. And Ed has been the co-chair for 8 years here in the district.
Sure.
That's true. And he, with pride, as we're on radio, I will share with the listening audience, he has a fabulous color cornflower blue polo shirt with RILA 207 on his back. And welcome to Rotary Radio.
Thank you.
And Ed, tell us what RILA is.
RILA is an acronym, and it stands for Rotary Youth Leadership Awards.
Award, everybody.
Right. And award because it is a scholarship program. What we do is we take approximately 105, 110 students who had just finished sophomore year in high school, and we bring them to Mount St. Mary College for a leadership training conference.
And how long is that?
It starts on a Sunday and it ends on a Thursday.
Okay.
And they live there with us the whole time. And their days are filled with different activities. We break them into 10 different groups, and each group has a task to perform. There's the art group, a chorus, T-shirt, band.
Construction, they build a kite.
Right, they build a kite.
Broadway, they perform a skit. Hollywood, they also perform a skit.
Right.
So it's a camp, kind of, a leadership
yes.
building. And how many districts or schools or what is your pool? Where do you pull from and how many RILA youths are involved? As
right.
average.
RILA is a district function. In Rotary, we have districts. And ours is 7210. And it encompasses approximately now 66 clubs. I think we just added a couple.
We founded one last, it was a couple of weeks ago,
that's right.
I believe. Yeah, in the district. A new club in Round Hyde Park, I think.
I don't know exactly.
Fishkill.
We happen to be one of the only, we happen to be growing. I don't know if we're the only one that's growing, but I know that we are one of the few that is growing in membership in the region.
You a little sidebar is that because I have recently transferred from a Rotary Club in Connecticut to the Millbrook Rotary Club, which is a part of our district 7210.
Mm-hmm.
This district is so active on a regional level, it does not surprise me that we're having growth within the region because of that. Because there has been more, I've done more district level things in a month and a half that I've been a member of my new club than I did in 7 years previous. So congratulations. But anyway, so back to RILA. We're growing as a district, and this is how the applicants,
right.
or
every
the participants.
Club, every club is entitled to send students, and we get about 105 altogether, like I said.
Now, are these students, they apply to the club, are they also members of the Interactors Club on a high school level? People know that there is a junior club that starts with Rotary, it's called the Interactors, which I know, Katie, you were a member of your Interactors Club, correct?
Yes, I was for, 4 years in high school, to which I was president of the club.
Mm-hmm. And where did you graduate from?
Carmel High School.
Okay.
And then I just graduated from Boston College.
Yes,
a couple
you
weeks
did.
Ago. Sadly, yes, I'm a college graduate. Tear.
Do you have a job yet?
Oh, no, should I ask you that in front of your
fine.
Dad?
No, but I'm getting my master's up at BC.
Good
so
for you.
In curriculum instruction. I'm going to be an elementary school teacher.
Great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And I'm sure that being president of your Interactors Club, being a participant, being now the counselor coordinator in the district of Rotary looks good on your resume, girl.
Well, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. And did you attend these RILA conferences at Mount St. Mary? It's Mount St. Mary, right?
That's where we are. That's
okay.
Correct.
I have. I was, in 2002, I was a conferee. And I was part of the yearbook group. The next year, I was the yearbook counselor. The next year, I was the senior counselor for yearbook, art, and t-shirt, I believe. Actually, I'm not sure about that last one. Then I was the first student board member as facilities coordinator. Then I took a year off. Then I took another year off and just came as chaperone. And now this year, I am the counselor coordinator in charge of our 10 junior counselors and our 4 senior counselors. So it was my job to select and train all of the counselors at RILA.
Wow, you've really worked your way up.
I did. I guess I'm a product of RILA.
Yes, you are a RILA product.
They groomed me for my job.
But you don't have the shirt on it. I think you and I need to shake your dad down for RILA shirts.
Well, he has about a wardrobe of RILA shirts in a variety of colors.
I get 4 or 5 a year. I don't like to do laundry, so I just get about 4 of them so I can change every day.
Great, great. So elementary school teacher.
Yes.
And when did that, how were you inspired to do that?
Elementary school?
Yeah.
Oh, no, there's a long story. Ever since I was a little girl, I wanted to be a teacher, my mom's first grade teacher, so I guess she had some influence there. But I was that kid who's lined up her dolls and took out, you know, a chalkboard and played school to my imaginary friend.
Uh-huh.
So for pretty much my whole life, I wanted to teach.
Good for you. And so when you entered BC, Boston College,
yes,
I got to remember
College.
To say that. Boston College, did you declare your major immediately?
Yes, I had to apply to the School of Education, which I actually applied on a whim. In high school, I stopped wanting to be a teacher. People told me not to do it, and I believed them. And I was sitting at my computer when I was applying to college 4 years ago, and I said, hey, Dad, what school should I click? There was arts and sciences, management, all these types. And he goes, I don't know. You used to want to be a teacher. And I go, yeah, I did. So click that. So I did. I clicked and set my kind of life there and didn't really know what I was doing, but fell in love again. So
good.
I'm happy I got that advice 5 years ago, 4 years
ago?
Yeah,
5 years ago. Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm getting old.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm not.
Now,
you're getting younger, right?
Yeah. When you were in Boston, were you involved in Rotary outside of the RILA program here in New York? Or how did you stay connected to Rotary International?
Well, I pretty much stayed connected through RILA and through my dad here, doing just little Rotary things here and there.
Yeah, Katie gets volunteered a lot.
I do. Uh-huh. I do.
Well, that's part of service above self is the Rotary motto, which we all take pretty seriously as Rotarians. We're very committed to that. We are a service organization. Ed, because you had shared with me that Katie Ann is not your only child, that you
that's
have
right.
two other children.
Yes, I do. Two
and
boys.
Were they involved in Rotary Interactors, RILA?
Yes.
Fill in the blank.
My son Kyle, who's currently a student at SUNY Downstate Medical School, he started the Rotaract Club at Cornell University when he was there. And prior to that, he was involved in the RILA program. He was a conferee and a junior counselor and a senior counselor. And when he was in high school, he was the president of the Interact Club, just as Katie Ann was. Actually, Katie Ann took over from her brother and was president for 2 years in Carmel High School. We're from the Carmel School District, and actually I belong to the Carmel Rotary Club.
Okay, so there is a legacy here.
We're developing one, that's for sure.
So, yeah. And so now talk about what that was that your son founded, basically the college level Rotary program,
right.
Correct?
Right. After Interact and before you're eligible to become a member of Rotary, there is something called Rotaract. And Rotaract is for college students and young professionals in their 20s. And it's a service above self club. It's a service club just like the other two. It needs to be sponsored by a Rotary Club, as does the Interact Club. And I think it was, Ithaca Sunrise Club sponsored their club up there in Cornell.
Okay. And just for the listeners as well, when they say Sunrise, there are two Rotary Clubs meet weekly, traditionally for lunch, but Sunrise means that you meet for breakfast.
That's correct.
So whenever you hear, I'm a member of this club, Sunrise, mm-hmm. that means you get up early.
That's right. Yeah. I don't know who they are or where they are.
JP's apoplectic. Obviously, are you the morning drive guy, JP?
No, in a word, no.
Yeah, rumor has it that people get up early. I don't know who they are.
I don't know who they are either. You know,
I'm amazed sometimes.
I hear there's this thing called dawn. I don't know about it.
I saw it twice. Really, I had to work a double shift once at a gas station. I was 18 years old.
Oh, my.
On the way home, there it was, the sun.
Well, I'm not a morning glory either. How about you, Katie?
I can get up if I have to, but I prefer to sleep in. But I guess I won't have that option when I become a teacher.
You better have bells on.
So. Yeah, I can be up and ready to go.
For some reason, elementary school.
I don't know what your mom is like as a first grade teacher, but I remember my daughter, who I shared with you, is in college in Boston now as we speak. Her first grade teacher gave the chat to all the new parents about, I go to bed at 8:30 every evening so that I can get up and do my work. And that's what you need to do with your children. You know, mm-hmm. of course, we all had these monkeys that were flying around at 10:30 at night. So that was a tough habit to get into. So I think, what does your mom do? Does she go to bed early?
Reasonably, between 10:30 and 11:30, depending on the night. She's up by 7. Mm-hmm. She has to be at work by 8. Mm-hmm. But lately, she's been getting up really early and getting in early.
Right.
She's getting promoted.
Congratulations.
She's going
Mom.
To second grade.
Oh, okay. Okay, I get it.
After 16 years of first grade, she's going to second grade, so she's kind of, getting things ready.
Yeah. What a great age. Oh, yeah. I love kids that age. They're really clever. They're interesting and clever people. Too bad we don't have an elementary type of program for Rotary. We could break them in early. What do you think, Ed?
That would be interesting. Actually, what we do in Carmel is we have a reading program for the kids. Uh-huh. And we go to read to them. And other than that, I can't think of anything.
Like a reading buddies through Rotary? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rotary helps out.
We've done
out
it on
that.
And off. And we've also donated dictionaries.
Baskets, didn't you?
Yeah, we did a literacy band. What we did was we put together a stack of books. We've done lots of things, actually.
Yeah. Well, we had an initiative internationally last year, correct? Rotary did with literacy. I remember that.
Yeah, we did a few years ago. In fact, I think it was when I was president, back in 02, 03, being that my wife's a first grade teacher, we put together a little library for the third and fourth grade classrooms, and then each kid got a book to take home with them.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's nice.
In the first and second grade. Because in our schools, they go from kindergarten to fourth grade at that time. Then middle school starts. So we took care of all the elementary school students. And then a couple of years ago, I think we put for each classroom a series of books in this little tote bag, a Rotary tote bag. And that was given out as a traveling library within the classroom that kids could take them home.
Well, it's wonderful because one of the nice things about the different Rotary clubs is that, there's the charge and the mission and the initiatives and the projects that all the clubs participate in globally and then nationwide, that type of thing. And then every club has its own community stuff and its own personality. I know that when I travel, I always try to seek out where the local Rotary club is meeting and go. You can go to any club as a visiting Rotarian, and they all do things a little differently. I mean, it's not a cookie cutter kind of thing.
That's right.
And I was very interested in hearing some of your initiatives too. Now, how long have you personally, Ed Hangle, been involved in Rotary, and what offices? What have you done?
I believe I started in 1991, so that'd be 17 years. And when you're in Rotary, you get on the ladder. You start at the as a Rotarian, and then you get on the board of directors, and then you work your way up, finally, that you're president. And then you're a past president, and then you're done for a while, at least.
Well, until they chase you down again.
Right. We have a fairly good-sized club, and we get
how many people are in the Carmel
about 40
club?
Right now.
Okay.
Around almost 40. Yeah, her hub is around there.
That's 36. A nice size club. Yeah. And when do you, are you guys a Sunrise? Or
no.
Thankfully, no.
We established that.
Don't be too enthusiastic about no. Not a Sunrise club.
They tried that once, but one day a month it didn't work. No, we're an afternoon club. Some clubs meet in the evening also, but ours is an afternoon club. 12:15, we meet at George's on Thursdays, so if you're out there, you want to check out.
What's the food like?
Food is good. You know, it's lunch.
Food is critical, JP. Just because I, you know.
Okay, I'll go along with that.
It's at George's. It's you know, very decent.
Yeah, food is important for Rotarians.
Mm. Okay, that seems to be a common thread among organizations. I've noticed
food
that.
And drink.
Food is food always
comes
first.
No drinking in our clubs.
Food always comes first.
Soda, coffee. Unless someone's got a flask, I don't know.
Drink is sometimes involved, but food is always it seems to be the first priority.
Absolutely, better be good. Okay, so anyway, back to the Carmel Club, because this is your chance to promote
the Carmel
Club.
The Carmel Club is a very, very active club, and we do many different fundraisers throughout the year. We have fish and chips in the early spring, where all the Rotarians, we take over the restaurant, and we charge admission.
This is at George's.
At George's, okay. That's correct, and all the Rotarians serve the food, and that's a big fundraiser. We have raffles, and it's like a big show. It's a lot of fun. And 4-H Fair. We serve the food at the 4-H Fair. Actually, I volunteer at the entertainment booth. I ran the food booth for many years, and I tell you, it's exhausting.
Well, that's a big job.
So they gave me a
calling
break.
The event fish and chips.
Yeah, well, that's a separate one.
Oh, okay.
We're talking now about the 4-H Fair that we have. The 4-H Fair,
okay.
Which is the last weekend in July, usually. And that's a three-day event put on by the Cornell Cooperative Extension. And our club volunteers to run the food booth.
So you have a collaborative effort with another local organization?
That's correct.
Which is another great thing. Rotary is so collaborative within the community. I just wanted to make that point. Community outreach is a big deal.
And our club is a big supporter of the RILA program. Not only because I happen to be a member of that club and involved in RILA, but even before I was involved in RILA, our club was very supportive. And by supportive, I mean we send students. Back when I first took over the program, each club was allowed to send two students each, and we changed that to any number at all in order to keep the numbers up. And because some clubs participate, some don't in the program, I think they should all participate. Anybody's listening to this, you should be sending people to RILA.
And Ed, how if a club wanted to get more involved, can they contact you directly?
Yes.
Okay, and tell us how to do that.
Through my email is the best. It's ed-hengel@comcast.net, and ed-hengel@comcast.net, and if you're a Rotarian listening to this, you just go on the district website, and I'm there listed under RILA on the district directory, and so is Randy Katz. He's from the Monticello Club, and Randy actually handles all. We split the duties in half. Randy, I used to be the chairman and take care of everything and had it.
But you're co now. You guys got smart about it and shared the responsibility.
And Randy takes care of the registration and the checks and the money. He handles all the details.
Uh-huh.
And I handle the kids and the conference itself.
Sounds
actually, when I first took over the, it is.
It is a big job. It's district wide. It's a lot of coordinating.
It takes us a long time to put it together. And, you work, you put it all together, and then before you know it, it's over.
And how rewarding is it?
It's very rewarding. It's a blast. Being there with the kids is exhausting, especially now I'm getting a bit older. And it's exhausting, especially since I'm up half the night with these kids sometimes.
But Katie Ann has helped out because you bring people through the pipeline, like you said, through the program, and then they're seasoned and they know how to help manage everybody.
That's actually what makes our RILA pretty unique, is that it is student-led. We have all students doing the facilities and the, what else, the facilities, the program, what else is it, facilities program, the running, getting things back and forth, which used to be
a lot. There's a lot going on. It's a lot of activity on a lot of different levels.
All that used to be done by Rotarians, but now it's all done by students. And that's something that my dad and Randy changed once they got more involved with the program.
Very interactive. Again, the focus on the kids. Like Ed, you and
that's
I were talking about in the program, a focus on really developing and nurturing and teaching leadership skills.
Mm-hmm. Well, we give them the opportunity to put those skills to work. Like Hetty Ann was alluding to, when we first took, when I first got involved with the program, there was a chairman and maybe half a dozen or more Rotarians who were running the whole show. And the kids were the junior counselors and senior counselors, and those were the only involvement. So out of the 100 or so kids the year before, only 14 came back to have some involvement. And over the years, it's evolved where now Randy and I are the only Rotarians, the only adults in the program, and the whole rest is run by the kids. Of the 105 to 110 kids from that come as conferees, about 40 of them come back looking to become junior counselors.
Sure.
And then the senior staff, which is all students, choose the 10 counselors that are going to be
so
part of
it. So there's a lot of peer participation.
That's right.
It's completely peer participation.
Yeah, yeah.
At 21, I'm actually the oldest board member, apart from the two Rotarian chairmen.
That's right. And by far the oldest.
Yeah.
The next is 19.
That's true.
She's the only 20-year-old.
I know she keeps alluding to how her life is just clipping by here. Well, I tell you what, speaking of time and life and everything else, I've been remiss in, because I am just the sub, we usually do president trivia. We usually have a moment here with JP.
And well, actually, Scott does it. He has these little cards. This is a little thing called Presidential Brainiac, and there are two colors. They're color-coded. One color is, like, moderately difficult, and the other is rather difficult. But he didn't leave me the deck.
Well, we begged him to, but he wouldn't.
No, he wouldn't. He won't part with that.
He
will
like
not part with that thing.
You know,
no, that's
a
that's his thing.
And it's okay, and we're okay with it, right, JP?
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
I mean, you would think that he would have left it around, but no. No. So I guess we just have to make...
Wing it.
Wing it. Well, make one
can
up.
Can you do that? I know you're just a radio personality station owner.
That's all.
So I don't mean to put you on the spot about, like, winging something, but I don't know, really stretch here.
No, we can stretch. I can open up the imaginary Presidential Brainiac box.
All right, I'll make some noise here.
Oh, that's a lot of noise.
I'm opening up the box.
Okay, opening up the box, and I pick out a card. And okay, here's a question.
Shoot.
What president recently lied about the reasons to get us into a disastrous war? Well, let's see. Let's think here. Boy, that's a tough one.
They're like no hints or no
George Washington. No. It's not George Washington. It's another George, though. George Bush. There we go.
Which one, though? George W. Bush. Don't you have to say that?
Well, actually, they kind of both did, but this one is this one's the worst.
Oh boy!
Another unbiased.
So there's a presidential brainiac. That's called winging it.
That's called winging it.
Yeah, that's a demonstration in broadcasting technique.
Thank you, JP.
All right, I'll give you one now.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
Who was the only president not elected to office?
George Bush! Oh my gosh,
that's
really amazing.
Who was the other one?
I think it was Gerald Ford.
It was. Very good.
There you go.
Yeah, Gerald Ford, right. Yeah.
Were you even born when that happened? Were you
alive? No, but I was also a history major.
There you go. Well, we've had 2 weeks in a row, we've had history majors here.
Yeah, this is good.
Last week our
I've always wondered, do they still teach history anymore?
Well, my oldest son was a history major also. Yeah. And my wife.
And my dad was a history professor. He's retired now, but I think he would hope that they teach history. Because he'd be out of a job if they weren't teaching it. People
and the rest of us would be condemned to repeat it.
Yeah.
Do they have, haven't we been doing such a good job of that? I mean,
incremental, baby steps.
Yeah.
What about Latin? Do they still teach?
Well, my daughter took Latin for 6 years, and to reasons, known only to God, it was her favorite subject. Mm. And she just loves it. She loves the whole, language.
It's a beautiful language.
She loves it.
No, I mean.
But it's a dead language. What's beautiful about it? I mean, it doesn't beautifully sound because it's dead. You don't speak it. Like, you couldn't use it on the radio.
Well, no, you could. Well, but we use it all the time.
Well, it's the basis of all language.
It's the basis of English, French, Spanish, Italian,
she's lucky. But I remember once when she was in middle school, it's like, how many declensions are there? I'm trying to cook dinner.
I took some, and there were a few.
There are a lot.
It's hard to remember them now, but...
Did you take Latin? Did you take Latin?
No.
No, I didn't.
No,
I went to a Catholic school.
And I'm surprised they didn't have it there.
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't even teach it there. Yeah. If they did, they may have had. I just wasn't aware of it.
Some years ago, someone was proposing, you know, they were trying to come to terms with the concept of an international language. And they were saying, well, we'd like something that everybody would have to learn, so we can't say that we're going to be playing favorites, like we're going to make it French, and okay, the French are home free, or we're going to make it English.
Oh, I see. You know, a language nobody knows.
And they were thinking of Latin, because it's a developed, fully expressive language that nobody really knows, so that everybody would be starting from an equal point forward and having to acquire it.
An interesting but cumbersome proposal or prospect or idea.
Well, what would you, if they were going to have, I mean, then there was Esperanto before that.
My only thing is I think English tends to be more global already and probably already the international language. I'm sad to say because it makes us lazy and makes us not have to stretch and learn.
Mm.
Arabic?
Well, sort of.
Arrogant. Yeah. Well, we have to think about a lot of that stuff.
Oh,
absolutely. It's a very
enlightened
thing, Katie.
Then you'd have nations like China, for example, saying, oh, wait a minute now, that's not fair that English is... See, that was...
That's exactly
and
right.
And their opinion counts now.
Yes, it does.
Well,
yes, yeah, ever. You think George Bush knows that?
Well, he doesn't have to worry about paying the bill for the Iraq war yet, but when they call it, a lot of people are going to know about it.
All right, there we got our little bit of political commentary on our Rotary Radio. Now, Rotary is a non-political organization.
That's right.
Non-sectarian. Disclaimer.
Non-political.
I'm a disclaimer here.
I'm sure Scott is upset, but...
He's not here.
He'll live.
Well, that's going to be your look because I'm just the substitute.
And I'm out of here in 5 minutes.
I did one of those ones before, by the way.
Good luck with that.
And he was good-natured about it.
Okay, good.
He's a good guy.
He is a great guy. I've known him for many years, and I'm delighted to be involved with his Rotary Club, and the Millbrook Rotary Club has just welcomed me, made me feel like I've been there forever. I'm having a great time. I've gotten to do something that I'm passionate and love to do and come out and be involved in another radio station. I get to meet wonderful people who contribute to their communities, I think that we're all responsible for the quality of our environment and our communities that we live, and I think that Rotary is one of the organizations that exemplifies that. But I love meeting people and talking and hearing what your story is and what has defined you, Katie Ann. You have your whole life in front of you. And Ed has, your dad and your parents both set a wonderful example. I've heard a little bit about your brothers. Your one brother went to Cornell, and then your other brother who's in India now, seeing the world and aspires to be a writer. So certainly there's been, and Rotary has been a part of your entire life. And your brothers. And is there anything else, Ed, Katie Ann, that we need to hit on before we sign off the air here about the RILA program or anything you wanted to say?
Yeah. RILA is so much more than just a leadership conference. I'd say the biggest thing about RILA is that it's a confidence builder. And students come in all very trepidatious at first and not willing to participate, and they end loving RILA and having more confidence in themselves. And we've seen students who sit in the corner, and then by the end of the week, they are doing a Rubik's Cube in front of everybody and completing it in 30 seconds, or, you know, holding spoons on their face for a minute, or concert pianist doing performances.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm telling you, RILA, it's an unbelievable program that brings out the best in people and gives them opportunities to share their talents with a bunch of students who are just like them, you know, who, you know, might be maybe not the coolest kid in school,
right,
but then you put them in RILA and everybody is a star and everybody gets a chance to shine.
Great.
So we'll call this episode The Life of RILA.
We will.
Yeah, right.
We need theme music. Anyway, Ed, what about you? You have any last minute thoughts?
Katie Ann pretty much summed it all up. One of the main things about RILA is that they all come in, all the kids come in on an even playing field, and there's no judgmental. We're not judging them. And we give them an opportunity to shine and by trusting them. One of the biggest things about RILA is, from the chairman's point of view, is I trust these kids to do the right thing. And they like being trusted.
You empower them from day second one, minute one.
They only hear my voice for like 20 seconds, the whole conference.
It's all about them.
It's all about them. I lay down the rules. Each student is responsible for themselves, for each other, to each other, and they're very reluctant to let each other down.
Wow. That's a life lesson. If you want to learn more about RILA, this particular program, or you want to learn more about Rotary International, you can go onto our website. It's Rotary International, whatever the dot, dot, dots are, I forget. But anyway, we're in District 7210 in New York. And thank you so much, Ed and Katie Ann Hangle. Thank you so much. I learned so much today. Thank you for being our guest. Thank you, JP.
It's our pleasure.
And we are listening to WHVW, the heart and soul of American music.